One of the things that is difficult as a King James Bible believer, if you please turn to Galatians chapter 2, is that you find out there aren't many of you.
Yes.
Now, that's something that you've been able to handle since you were a little kid. I can remember the first time I wanted to play ball with the bigger boys, and they tossed a bat one to the other and did the selection committee process with chicken claws or no chicken claws, and I'd be the last one selected. Oh, you know, that's kind of sad. Or I maybe be excluded, or you'd be the one that had to be behind the catcher and you went to chase the foul balls. That's all you were good for. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all understand being alone and being rejected, and yet when it turns out that the only reason the team chose you is just to take advantage of you and just to use you, that hurts all the more. You'd rather have not played. As a King James Bible believer, there are pretenders who say they are King James Bible believers, but when you get into the cracks, when you get into the nuances, when you get into the details, you find out they're not. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 4, we read about false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus. I've got a Bible-believing attitude about me. I don't need to cut any slack. I've got a Bible. I don't need to compromise. I've got a Bible. I can stand fast because I know what I believe, and it's in this book rightly divided. So some try to spy out, where does he get this confidence level? Where does he get this bodacious attitude of his? And false brethren unawares. There are some that want to be identified as Bible believers when really they never really have been much. And so if they have the opportunity to be guilty by associating with you, they'll do that. And guilt by association, oh, you must be a Bible believer. When somebody is a King James Bible believer, you won't have to be in many conversations before you get called a Ruckmanite. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to make you guilty by association with Dr. Ruckman down there in Florida. Mm-hmm. But everybody who holds a King James Bible in front of them is not a King James Bible believer, not by a long shot. And we'll talk a little bit about that. If you look, please, now at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 in verse 11. We put on the whole armor of God, which is that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I know he's wily, and I know what his lie program is. He would have us to worship the creature rather than the creator. I know when he starts his earthly ministry, he's got apparently a smile on his face and he's saying, yay, hath God said, questioning God's word in Genesis chapter 3. So I know that's his tactic. I've said this before and I'll hold to it. The person that will change one verse in my Bible is no different from the person who would change all 31,000 of them, except by degree. Mm-hmm. So when somebody says, well, I'm King James, except for this one, that's the crack. He's pulled his finger out of the dike. Mm-hmm. So there can be a flood, and over time, I promise you, it will increase. It won't decrease. He won't go from one to none. He'll go from one to two. Yeah. So either you're a Bible believer or you are not. I've spoken to you before about James chapter 1. And in James chapter 1, you have what is often referred to as the order of events in peccability. And these things are listed in verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, he's tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away from his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Trouble starts then in verse 15 when you're thinking about it. You see that? Because if you're not thinking about it, then you won't do the sin.
Mm-hmm.
There is such a thing as seeing something and then, oh, well, maybe I'll go that way. Or thinking, seeing something and saying, maybe I won't go that way.
Mm-hmm.
Illumination. You see it. And you decide, well, I'll go where the crowd is. Or you see it and you say, well, no, I'm going to stand on my Bible. So the order of peccability there, it becomes sinful when you've decided, when you are past illumination, and when lust hath conceived, when the controversial issue has conceived the thought, and you say, well, I could do that. You have opened a door. You've opened a gateway to sinfulness. Now, no person in the cancer ward with lung cancer starts with three packs a day. He starts with one and he coughs. He builds up to that. Nobody I've ever met in the drunk tank started by drinking a whole bottle of the cheapest stuff there was. He had a sip of wine at dinner. And it just builds up. The gateway is open. In Colossians, in chapter 2, in verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men. Why would it be a vain deceit to follow the tradition of man? I want to be included. I want to be picked for the team. I want to be one of the gods. Rather than to be ostracized, and he's one of those nutburgers. As a King James Bible believer, you will be ostracized. The way the world looks at the Bible is it's just one of many books. And oh, how terrible, that pastor down in Florida, and admittedly he's a bit of a nutburger and a publicity hound, burned a Koran, and now people are shooting each other in Afghanistan. People are shooting each other in Afghanistan because they shoot each other in Afghanistan, and it wouldn't matter if you burnt a whole library. They're still going to shoot each other. Or if you put out the Koran, they're still going to shoot each other. These are wicked people. Have a nice day. But what I'm trying to build up to, and what I'm trying to illustrate, what I'm trying to get to, is the crack in the Bible-believing foundation might be little, might be slight, but it's still a crack. And it's still a demonstration of infidelity. And what was the movie, something proposal, indecent proposal, where a woman was propositioned to serve as a prostitute and she wouldn't do it until the price got up to $1 million, and then the question is, then when does she start being a prostitute and what number?
Mm-hmm.
The answer is she always was.
Mm-hmm.
She never ceased to be. Took a while to find her price.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing that, you see, when you open the door to it, for $10,000, she's chased. For $1 million, come on, honey, let's go. So she was the come on, honey, the whole time.
Yeah.
Or it wouldn't have ever happened. You see what it's demonstrating. So what I'm trying to say to you is, heads up. Whole lots of folks claim to be kingdom Bible believers, and whole lots of folks aren't. Please turn to Romans chapter 8. Because if they will change one verse, if they'll change a word, they're on the slippery slope.
Yeah.
The slippery slope has been greased by popularity, modern scholarship, big numbers, where the money is. The slippery slope is a very attractive place. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 16, we've got the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. as a King James Bible believer, I leave the word itself alone. Now, no new translation does, and there are people within the grace movement who don't. The Spirit itself. Now, the reason that it is said to be an error is because people are defensive of the Holy Spirit being the third person of the so-called Trinity. I'm not comfortable with that word since it's not a Bible word, but the three in one. Mm-hmm. And that the Holy Ghost is not a personage if you call him itself. And so you've all heard this one. We've all been up and down this road, I suppose. But I wonder how many people hear it from a King James Bible-believing perspective. Not very many. And within the King James camp, in mid-Acts dispensationalism, you will find people who will say, well, we kind of know what it means. And they're not comfortable with the word itself. They're creating the crack. They're pulling their finger out of the dike. The Spirit itself. Oh, it should be the Spirit himself. Well, here's the problem. And there are several, but here's the problem. The Spirit is a neuter word. It is not neither male nor female. I've given you an illustration here on the board. The cat saw itself in the mirror. You don't know if it's a boy cat. You don't know if it's a girl cat. That's a neuter word. Since it's neuter, that has to be. Okay? If I said the calico cat, I could say saw herself.
Yes.
Because every calico ever born is a female.
Yes.
There are no male calicos, ever. But it doesn't say the calico cat, so I can't say herself.
Right.
The cat saw itself. It is a neuter word. Now, drop down to verse 26 in Romans chapter 8. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. The Spirit itself. It is a neuter word. I then got deity not described as male or female. What should I do? Leave it alone is a good answer. God's a spirit. Is he a boy spirit or a girl spirit? Now, of course, you know, there's a crowd out there that wants to make him her. Christ is a man, no question about that. Spirit itself maketh intercession with groanings that cannot be uttered, and he that searches the hearts knoweth the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, obviously, a neuter word requires, a neuter noun requires a neuter pronoun. And that's what you're looking at. You're looking at that in Greek or in English. It's neuter both places. So when somebody comes along and says, well, it should say himself because we know he's the person of the... then you're not a Bible believer. You're switching things for the sake of... I don't know what your agenda is, but you're switching things for some reason.
Yeah.
Now, in verse 27, he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Who's the he? Is that God the Father? Is that God the Son? God the Spirit?
It's not the Spirit.
Wouldn't be the Spirit, would it? So, these kinds of things then are a good, accurate representation, and we should leave them alone. In verse 14 of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. As many as are led by the spirits of God, They are the sons of God. There you see the Spirit. Now, that leading is going to be word involved, is it not? It's going to involve God's word. Mm-hmm. And so, when I come to the word of God, is that going to be male or female? Who inspired God's word? So I don't have to deal with it. Sometimes when we try to choose who's masculine and who's feminine, it has to do with voting rights in the 30s. It doesn't have anything to do with the text itself. Now, actually, if you go back to Genesis chapter 3, and may I make a point to you, nobody's bothered when you read a sentence that says, the cat saw itself in the mirror. So why would the word itself, as a neutered pronoun, be so upsetting in Romans chapter 8, verse 16? It upsets somebody's agenda. It upsets somebody's apple cart. You see what's going on? Mm-hmm. You understand, and it's such a simple illustration that the cat saw itself in the mirror, you can't miss it. In Genesis, in chapter 3, in verse 14, the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. Turns out to be Christ. On another sense, you might want to make it Israel, but that is Christ through Israel, Israel through Christ, but it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. You see it? So, what you're looking at is another example, and the precedent noun was the seed. Hence the it. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to leave the King James Bible as it stands. I really labor at not trying to teach my King James Bible from the original languages.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As recently as last week. Carol's got a really good thing that she really enjoys. But you can't teach it without using Hebrew. Which sounds a lot like Haagen-Dazs. What is the word?
Good.
See? Haagen-Dazs. And so that then is a teaching that is built upon something in the Hebrew text. I've been at this 30 years. I don't go there. Because when we go home, we've got what we need without learning three new languages.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So it seems to me that you don't come short on anything. Carol's opinion notwithstanding, but you come way ahead. Now, in Matthew, chapter 1. By the way, if it's right to change itself in Romans 8, wouldn't it also be right to change it in Genesis 3? And how about here? In Matthew chapter 1. Now the birth, verse 18, of Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily? But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee thy wife Mary, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. That. That's not a nice way to talk about Jesus, huh? But there it is. And that. Guess what the that is? You just read it in Genesis 3. It's the it. That.
Yeah.
Want to go crazy? Turn to Luke 1. Now let me, while you're turning to Luke 1, back up a little bit and say this. If you're looking for trouble, you'll find it.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
If you want to find things wrong in the Bible, you won't be the first in line. You won't even be near the last in line. There's millions in line finding things wrong with the Bible. When I used to subscribe to Madeline Murray O'Hare's newspaper, the Atheist Clarion or whatever it was, she could turn to any page and find something she didn't like. Because she'd already decided.
Yes.
This is a book written by man. It's full of myths, full of fiction. At some point, you are with your intellect going to have to make a decision and either let God be true and every man a liar, or flip it over.
Mm-hmm.
Let men be the ones getting it right and God drop the ball and what he said wasn't really what he said. Luke chapter 1, verse 26, the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came unto her and said, Hail, this is a magnificent hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, and he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. You can almost sing that one, can't you?
No.
And his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this thing be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost came, shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing, the word's a thing. What's the thing? It's the Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. It. Not just a boy baby. God manifested in the flesh. That's different. So, if you're choosing to be offended, there's lots of places to be offended, and lots of corrections you're going to need to make in your Bible. Meanwhile, I'm going to say, the cat saw itself in the mirror, explains it to me, I get it, I understand it, the words are neuter, it's not speaking of the man personage, it's speaking of God manifest in the flesh, the itself, the thing, that which God did, which has never been done before, never will ever again. I'm going to leave my Bible alone.
Amen.
In Romans chapter 8, in verse 16. If you would please turn to Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, in verse 2. The first two words are God forbid. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Answer: God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? No Greek New Testament has the word God in verse 2. Without the authority to forbid, people will choose to go their own way. If you wanted to literally translate it, you might do what the New American Standard did and say, may it never be. But that certainly isn't the sense of it. In verse 21 of the previous chapter, this is by Jesus Christ our Lord. What should we say then? We're dealing with deity here. Who is it in 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, verse 20, that beseeches you in God's stead? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. Don't take my word for it. Check. I looked at over a dozen commentaries, and every one of them says there's many different ways that this could be, and one of them is, of course, God forbid. The NIV says, by no means. The Amplified says, certainly not.
Goodness gracious.
You take grace school of the Bible, Pastor Jordan will tell you that's wrong. The Greek term is prohibitive without remedy. God forbid gets that done. May it never be, or maybe it will be. It's equivocating. By no means, except the means I've got. It's equivocating. Certainly not. Well, maybe I don't. Feel like certainly not. Maybe I feel like certainly we could. God forbid, I've got nothing can trump that.
No.
So the Greek term is a term without remedy. No hope for you, sweetie pie. My way or the highway. King James translators put in God forbid, which means I don't have to learn the new language. I know that the Greek expression is prohibitive without remedy, because I studied it out to see why is Pastor Jordan telling me this is a mistake in my Bible when I don't believe the Bible has mistakes in it. So I see a literal could be certainly not, by no means, may it never be, but the demands of the Greek text is that it be prohibitive without remedy. You can't fix this. Well, you're going to have to go to God to be able to say all or never or those kinds of words, because only God can talk like that. Just as soon as I say I'll never do that again, you can count on me doing it on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's just a little thing you say. The flood of infidelity behind that dike, behind that dam, that is being held back by believing your King James Bible now has a crack in that dam, and the flood of modern scholarship, and well, if you change one word, you'll change 780,000 words.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Over time. So, I know who the final authority is, 2 Corinthians. Paul would beseech me by God.
Yes.
That's what this says, isn't it? So I'm going to leave it alone. You say, well, the Greek text doesn't act. I can find you dozens in any translation where the English doesn't match the Greek.
Yes.
But I won't find you one that gets it right every time, except for my King James Bible.
Amen.
So, that makes me a whack job. Hey, I listened to Pastor Jordan teach it. I thought, uh-oh, he's right, I don't have a Bible anymore, so he's wrong.
Amen.
I didn't have to debate that for long. James chapter 1, verses 7. I didn't have to debate that for long.
No.
Then I started looking, and I see, well, literally, it could be these other things. Well, okay. But when I read that the sense of this is, it's got a genesis. It's without remedy. There's no fixing it. No. Then that's why the authority of God was used in my English Bible, and I'm good with that. Actually, I have a more nuanced understanding of the Greek by reading God forbid than I did for those that give me a more literal rendering. Please turn to Philippians chapter 4. Now, what I'm pointing to are nitnoids, little things. And people play fast and loose with the little things.
Yeah.
Well, you know what the big things are built out of? Little things.
Yeah.
You know why they've got the Large Hadron Collider? 16.5 mile circle with 1,800 super magnets chilled down to 487 degrees negative, colder than outer space, so that they can accelerate protons in opposite directions and have them explode into each other. You know why they're doing that? They want to find the littlest stuff there is.
Yeah.
And extrapolate from that how everything works. Well, everything is built by little stuff. And so, little things mean a lot.
Yes.
I sound like... Who was Eddie Fisher's wife? Wasn't she the one that sang Little Things Mean a Lot?
Debbie Reynolds.
I don't remember. But anyhow, little things mean a lot. Philippians chapter 4. I need a little more disciplined mind, don't I? Go to Demi Reynolds. Philippians chapter 4 in verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Well, Jesus is a man. Shouldn't that be who? Is it? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Which is a pronoun. It's a relative pronoun. And it has to do with the power and authority of God manifest in the flesh when he's not here, manifest in the flesh when he's in heavenly places. Go back to Philippians chapter 2. Verses 5 and 6. Let this mind be in you, which was also the mind. It's personal with you, is it not?
Yeah.
But isn't it also personal with Christ? Didn't he have a mind? The mind of God? Don't you have a mind? So if those are going to be interchangeable, who are you going to put in there? Are we going to deify you, or are we going to humanize him?
Mm-hmm.
Which works, doesn't it? So then equals added to equal can be equal. When you turn to Philippians chapter 3, in verse 8, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, from whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Whom is a word the King James translators knew. It's right there in the middle of verse 8. This verse is all about Christ. The other one, it was my mind and his mind both being described. And so which? works. Our Father, which, you ever heard that one? And the new translations all change it to who? Which deals with a noun being complete, which in Philippians chapter 4 verse 13 can be for emphasis. So once again, what I'm saying to you is, leave it alone, darling. You're ahead with what the King James translators gave you. We'll be called to task for Easter in Acts chapter 12, verse 4. That is so easily dealt with. And some of the people in the Grace camp, the mid-Acts group, they'll defend Easter, but they'll attack Romans chapter 6, verse 2. Some of the folks in the King James camp will defend 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, but they'll attack Romans chapter 6, verse 2. Don't be confused by that. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump.
Yeah.
You make one step as an infidel, you've identified yourself in infidelity. Mm-hmm. Have a nice day. We'll stop there.